Caitlin's in the middle of yawning.
Yep. We are back.
Yep.
No churros this time, though. They were good.
Yeah.
That worked out really good.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks is we do need to do the YouTube type thing.
Yeah.
Because we did 25 minutes of video or whatever, and it lasts for 24 hours, and then it's gone.
Yeah. No, for sure. But that was, like, our first, like, test run with it.
Yeah, but we hope that you guys liked it.
We did. I mean, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think it was fun. Yeah. I don't know, and I feel like YouTube would work better, or, like, videos would work better, because if we're going to bake anything that doesn't require, like, frying,
yeah,
there's going to be baking time. You know, yeah. We can't stand there and talk to you guys for half an hour, you know, while we were waiting for the cake or cookies or whatever to bake.
Yeah, so. No. Because what we could do is do the video thing and then, like, go live for, like, the last bit of it.
Yeah.
Like, where we either decorate something or just kind of, like, if you want to see how Sam made this,
yeah.
Like, go to our YouTube thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be super fun. But we had fun.
Yeah.
It was nice. Mm-hmm. And then during that, we were watching...
We watched all 4 Scream movies.
Yes.
Which, hopefully, there'll be a 5th one soon.
It would be really nice.
I saw there's, like, rumors that it's
there's talking.
Be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's talks about it.
One thing I did want to address also is I know that Caitlin and I are together, and you guys know that we don't live together,
mm-hmm.
but we're not seeing anybody else.
No.
We're only seeing each other. So yeah. That's our quarantine.
We're exclusive quarantine buddies.
Yeah, in like. Order to make it so that we don't, you know. I just wanted to say that because I felt a little weird about it. You know what
yeah.
I mean? But, like, with everything going on, like, I'm exhausted. I don't know about you guys, but, like, I'm so over this shit.
Yeah.
Like,
mentally exhausted, physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted.
Yeah.
It's kind of everything. And every time, like, I open any news thing on my phone or Facebook, it's just, like...
You can't get away from it.
No, it's bombarded with he said, she said. And, I mean, you can literally scroll and see, like... Oh, this is happening, and then scroll a little bit farther, and they're like, that's not happening, and you're like,
yeah, like, I'm just, I don't know.
Like, you can't get anything straight.
Yeah, so that's why we did the Scream Day, is so that
yeah.
we could focus on that.
We got dressed up.
And then immediately got undressed, or dressed into more comfortable clothes.
Yes. It is hot in Florida.
Yeah.
Right
well,
now,
with the oil so going, and
yeah.
the other burner going, and stuff like that.
And
like,
Skeet Ulrich on the screen, it was
yeah.
just too much.
And then Timothy Oliphant in the second movie.
I always forget. Like, I
love
always
him.
Forget that he's in it.
Like, every movie that I've ever seen, or show, because he's in Santa Clarita Diet and The Office, too.
Oh, that's right.
Like, he's one
gorgeous.
Of those guys where it's just like, holy shit, like,
he's so suave.
Yeah, like, but he has, like, the big crazy eyes and stuff, and it's like, that doesn't take away from him at all. You know what I mean?
No, because like, it's that whole, like, Family Guy, like, what are you going to do to me? What are you going to do to
yeah.
me?
Yeah. Yeah, I love him.
He is. He's really great.
But we watched all 4 Scream movies.
Yeah.
One thing I did want to talk about, which is why I was on my phone before we got on here, is that I saw a theory floating around that Dewey is the mastermind.
Oh, yeah, you said this.
So... There's a thing on Ranker, like a article, that's what I'm looking for, on Ranker that says the reasons why he is.
Yeah, yeah.
So they say that when in the first movie, and multiple other of the movies too, is that he suffers the same damage as Billy and Stu, where he has shallow puncture marks on his back and a broken arm, so nothing like life-threatening.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they say that in the beginning, when the killer first goes to Sydney's house, like when Tatum's on her way from the movie store,
yeah,
Dewey, she makes an online request, like to call 911, and Dewey's there like immediately,
yeah,
like he's there within. By the time she's done that and then runs back downstairs, he's there,
yeah.
So like, yeah, it's a movie, but realistically, like that's not something that would happen,
yeah. Well, I mean, she freaks out that Billy is instantly there.
Yeah.
After
one there, it's,
them trying
it
to get
theorizes
in.
That he was Billy's ride
yeah.
to the house.
Okay.
Like, because otherwise, you know, actually, I don't know how old they are in the movie, but Sydney still rides the bus home. So you would assume that they're between, like, 16, you know, maybe some of them are older or whatever. And then when Billy is at Sydney's house, he obviously gets taken into custody, and then Sydney receives a call that night.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, Dewey is providing him an alibi by having him taken in to custody instead of being like, well, he's fine. He was just here, you know?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, there's the fact that Tatum isn't really talked about by him anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he never really is that upset that she's dead. You know what I mean? Like,
no, because Officer Judy's sister. The only one that brings it up.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, she's like, and your sister.
Yeah, and like, I think that Gail mentions her in the second movie. Or Sydney does? I can't remember. One of them mentions her in the second movie. And, but it's never really, like, that big of a deal for him.
Yeah.
Also, when they show the shoes of the person, they're the police-issued shoes.
Yeah.
And then he's all, like, he's conveniently incapacitated during when he could, as a policeman, be helping the people at the party or at Sydney's house or whatever. He's always conveniently incapitated.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the reason I couldn't help. You know, like when Ghostface calls after they come home from the police station, he's sleeping.
Yeah.
Or he's in his room or, you know, like all that kind of stuff. So then the last, one of the other things is that he's obsessed with Sydney.
Uh-huh.
And like there is, it seems like Sydney is kind of like the apple of a few people's eye.
Yeah, yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Like you can, obviously Randy makes very like,
yeah,
you know, pointed.
You think she'll date?
like very pointed. What do you call it? Like remarks about how much he likes Sydney.
Yeah.
And, like, but there's also like the Dewey like, kind of like, sheepishly like talking to her, like that kind of thing. Which if they are not old enough to drive, well, Tatum can drive, so they must be like 17, 18.
Yeah.
But Dewey's still 25. So that's quite a big age difference, especially at that, you know, at that time in their life. And then it says one of the, like, weirder ones is that he and Ghostface share an ice cream connection. It says the theory is based on location and timing. When Sydney and Tatum are shopping for snacks at the grocery store, they're clearly being trailed by Ghostface when the reflection is visible in the ice cream freezer, and in the very next scene, Dewey's eating ice cream.
Huh.
So, I thought that was cool.
Like, that is, like, interesting, like, was that guy on YouTube that, the Everything Wrong With guy?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like one of those things, but not Everything Wrong With It. It's just, like,
how he's Dewey is
in
the
ice cream aisle.
And then Dewey has ice cream.
Has ice cream. That's really interesting. I wonder if that's why in Scary Movie,
Doofy is the killer. Maybe, yeah.
That might be something that came out, and when they, like,
and they're like, hey, wait,
they heard, like, that theory, and they're like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's funny.
Well, I love Scream. Scream is probably my favorite horror movie.
I would say that it's, as far as, like, teen slasher, just kind of fun movies, I love Scream.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one, obviously, like, is the best, and it's my favorite.
Yeah.
That beginning scene is, like, honestly one of the best beginning scenes I think I've ever seen.
Well, and it's funny, but it's also, like, really fucked up.
Well, it's super fucked up. It is scary. There's a lot of tension, and it has, like, that teenage thing, but it turns really quick. Like, I get chills every time her mom finds Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
And,
well, I think the worst part is, like, they come home to the fire and stuff, and they're like, where the fuck is...
But I think that's, you know, what it is it's, like, it's this chaos.
Yeah.
Of just, like, where is she? And she hears her through the phone, which is, like, it's so sad, and it's so scary, and then, like, I guess for just, like, back then, I didn't realize it then, but every time I watch it nowadays, it is brutal.
Yeah.
Like, the level of gore in it mm-hmm. is way more than any of the, like, slasher, teen slashers you would see in the 2000s or, you know, the 2010s yeah. or anything like that. It goes there. I mean, mm-hmm. everything's hanging out of her. I mean, it is, like, a really intense first scene into yeah. this kind of, like, glossy
mm-hmm.
teen flick. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, the opening just always gets me, like, hard.
Yeah. Well, and, like, one thing I always thought was a little bit not so much explored, and I know they try to explore it in the next couple movies, but it's not really the same as having it kind of, like, wrapped up a little bit more in the first movie, is that, like, Billy obviously kills Sydney's mom, Billy and Stu, but I think that Billy is obviously, like...
Yeah,
like,
he's
the more, you know, I think powerful of the two, so it's like...
Yeah, I think Stu's just crazy enough to go for it.
Yeah, he's just like, wants he's just some perfect. Excitement yeah. or whatever. But we find out that Billy killed Sydney's mom, like, the year prior, and then now he's doing this to get to Sydney to kill her. I don't really understand, like, they never really explain why they killed, like, Casey Becker
yeah.
or Tatum or any, but literally anybody else in the movie other than Sydney.
Yeah.
Like, there's really no reason for them to just go around, like, murdering people for no yeah. reason. You know what I mean? Other than the fact that, like, I think it was like, well, if we're going to do it, we should do it and get rid of people we don't like. Because, like, we know that Stu dated Casey and,
yeah.
like, she dumped him for Steve. And, you know,
yeah.
like, little, the things that in high school seem like such a big deal that you would think about, like, obviously maybe not murdering people, but it being, like, you hate that person because they did dump you for somebody else.
Yeah.
Whereas it's, like, when you get into the adult world, it's not really that big of a deal. But, like, one thing that... Like, not, I don't want to say bothered me, because I very much enjoy Scream, is that, like, they say that Billy, like, murdered Maureen Prescott, and it's, like, I would personally like that to be a little bit more explored.
Yeah.
I think the fact, maybe even having, like, a flashback scene of them doing it, or, you know, whatever, it might, just something to, like, wrap it into it, because, like, the only thing, ouch, sorry, I just cut my finger, the only thing that they mention is later on in the third movie when Roman is Sydney's half sister or whatever, and he provides Billy with the video that Maureen Prescott's been sleeping with Billy's dad, and that's what makes and suggests that they kill her, and like that's kind of, you know, where the it goes.
Only background.
And also, like, why did they wait a year?
Yeah.
Why did they kill Maureen? Well, really, like, why kill Sydney anyway? Like, you're pissed off. You know, that you're pissed off naturally that your mom, or I'm sorry, that your dad is having an affair with Sydney's mom. And, like, I assume that Billy and Sydney were dating at that time, too.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe, you know, like, maybe it's that, like, if I wasn't dating Sydney, he wouldn't have met her mom. Like,
yeah, maybe something like that. They kind of try to make it just this whole, like, I killed your mom because she was sleeping with my dad. And, like, I'm coming after you now because I thought I got rid of the problem, but you're not sleeping with me, and,
yeah.
you know, like, that kind, it's, like, very just, like, face value.
Yeah, it just seems like...
It's really hard to put I know this sounds weird. It's hard to put yourself in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I feel like when, you know, you watch Nightmare on Elm Street, you're like, yeah, I'd probably get revenge, too.
Yeah.
But with this, it's kind of like...
Like, there's not really revenge to get on Sydney. Like,
no.
You kill... If you...
Like, and it's a cold case. He's, like, why are you... Like, it's done.
Well, somebody's, you know... Somebody's been locked up for the murder, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, why would you come forward? And, like, I know... Like, that's another thing, is, like, even in the third movie, when Roman says about... that he got Billy and Stu to kill Maureen Prescott and stuff like that, he doesn't really say why he got them to go after Sydney. I mean, I know that he talks about how, like, she got the life with the mom dad, and, you know, that, and he didn't get that.
Maureen turned him away and
but,
all
like,
that.
But, like, how did he convince Billy and Stu that it was, like, okay, let's go on a rampage? And, like, I know I'm going between first and third, which really, like, they're not comparable, but, like... Because the third, they're just kind of grasping at straws for who the killer can be. But, like, if I was Billy, I'd be like, no, like, I only wanted revenge on Maureen because she was sleeping with my dad and broke up my family and got my mom to leave.
Yeah.
So, I don't need revenge on Sydney. The worst, probably the worst revenge, even more than dying yourself, is somebody murdering your mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so, you've already given her, like, the pain and suffering of what's happening. And not to mention that you add in the fact that you killed her best friend, like, Tatum, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's like, and that not only that, but then finding out that her boyfriend is the one that killed her mom. Like, I feel like it's just not, I don't know.
Like, well, you, like you said, you've got Cotton in jail.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. Why? Like, yeah. It's done. Like, literally, it's one of those, like... It's
something that doesn't even have to be mentioned ever again. Yeah,
it's the West Memphis 3 in jail and Terry's free.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, it's one of those things where I feel like if they were going to try to... If they were doing anything as far... Especially the third one. Why isn't there a flashback of Roman and Billy's interaction?
Yeah, well, like, I guess something at that point, like that. Like, at that point, obviously, in the third movie, like, Skeet Ulrich wasn't,
I know, you but know, you part of it. Even a back of the head thing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm talking about the first Scream in terms of the third one, which I know really isn't fair.
No,
but even in the first one, like I said, like, some kind of flashback of, like, Billy killing Maureen, or at least Billy. I feel like what they could have done is they could have added, like, a 5-minute scene in the middle, or when he's talking, or, you know, whatever it might be. Like, that 5-minute scene that shows Cotton leaving the house and leaving his jacket behind. Billy or Stu or whoever it was that killed Maureen, I'm pretty sure it's Billy.
I think it's Billy.
Sneaking into the house. You don't have to see him killing Maureen, because I know that, you know, practical effects and stuff is expensive. So, see him sneaking into the house, and then cut to him leaving, but wearing Cotton's jacket.
Yeah.
Like, something, just that little bit of, like, because then it's, like, you're so far removed from Maureen's murder, because everything else is going on in front of you, obviously, that, you know what I mean? Like, just that little bit to, like, tie it into why all this is happening.
Yeah. Well, and, like, where I was going with the original thing is, like, Cotton's in jail, so why even bring up, like, reopen the case yourself and frame it on the dad?
Yeah, I just...
Like, he's not... Kind of the victim, too. Like, your mom was a slut.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of sucks. Yeah. Like, his wife...
Well, and not to mention that, like, his dad... Or, I'm sorry, Sydney's dad, like, would have already been looked into as a suspect.
Yeah.
By the police. So the fact that somebody else is in jail, like, trying to pin it on him, like, you have to have some real fucking solid evidence. And why, at the end of the day, like, he's not the smartest person to try and pin it on, because why, after a year after the murders, would he just go psycho? And it's one thing for him to have killed Tatum and people in, like, Sydney's group. But, like, they, you know, acknowledge that they're not really that close with Casey Becker.
Yeah.
So why would the dad go and kill her? He probably doesn't even fucking know who she is. He probably only knows Tatum and Randy and people.
Yeah.
People are going to Sydney's house and, like, he's seeing them on a more regular basis.
Yeah, it's like, it would be more obvious that it must be someone that's friends with all these friends.
Yeah.
That are killing the friends. And also, like, I know, like, Skeet and Stu say, oh, you know, he went crazy on the 1-year anniversary, and it's like, but he hasn't shown any behavior up until this
point. Well, and not to mention that the first murder was not on the first anniversary.
Yeah, so...
It's a week, maybe week, 2 days before, something like that. Like, so, it's not even like he went on this crazy... Obviously, the party at Stu's house is, like, a mass murder, because, like, you know, Tatum dies, and there's other people there that are getting hurt, and,
yeah,
you know, all that kind of stuff. So, that would be, like... Casey and Steve, there was really, other than to set up the movie, there really wasn't a reason for them to die.
No.
Other than if they are planning on murdering... See, and that's another thing, is, like, that would be something that would get Billy and Stu caught.
Yeah.
Is because they don't kill anybody, they kill people that are close to Sydney, except for these two other people. And then it's like, okay, so they're gonna pin it on Sydney's dad.
Well, then the principal.
Yeah, killing... Well, and I think that they, like, hid his body. They didn't just leave it there.
Because
you never hear about the principal dying again. But I feel like that would have been, the Casey Becker and Steve would have been what got them caught. Because it would have been like, wait a minute, why did Sydney's dad, who's never met Casey before, because Casey and Sydney only interact at school, they never hang out and do that kind of stuff. So who in Casey's life has recently been, like, upset with her, and then it'd be like, okay, who's the last boy that she dated and dumped, you know? Yeah. And then it comes back to Stu, and it's like, oh, so Stu and Billy, and then Maureen with the dad, you know, like, then it's like, okay, wait a second, like, all of this coming together is not coming to Neil Prescott, it's coming to Billy and Stu, like...
Well, and, like, I mean, honestly, all of them start off with, like, a very, like, is just for the movie to be set up. Yeah. Because the second one is, like, why does Timothy Olyphant and the mother kill those two black people in the theater?
Well, that was... Is that the second? Yeah. So in the second one, the reason they kill that person, those the two people in the movie theater, are because her name is Maureen.
Oh yeah, they're then doing the whole
Steve, that's and then Casey.
That's right.
So they're going in the same because in the second one, Billy's mom just wants Sydney dead. She doesn't give a shit about anybody else that Mickey might kill. So. But Mickey, he wants it to be a movie. Yeah. He wants it to be this big theatrical thing so that when he goes to trial and he, you know, pleads insanity and stuff, like, he was just trying to make it so the movies made him violent. So, obviously, it's a very much more dramatic to kill people in the same way that the Woodsboro murders happened. That's true. The same name.
And he's also killing them in a movie theater. Yeah. So that makes
then,
more sense.
You know, like, that kind of thing. And then in the theater and the, you know, that kind
the
of
The second
stuff.
One isn't bad.
No, I enjoy the
second one. I enjoy the second one. The third one needs to be forgotten forever.
Like, it just, it's not, so... I enjoy watching it, but, like.
But it's, like, every
it's
scene.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah, every scene, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. And they get to the next scene, and you're like, why is she even here? Like, it just kind of. I think it gets really, really, like, fuzzy down with the whole voice changer thing.
Yeah, because it's the one, Scream 3 is the one where he has, or, yeah, Roman has the, Ghostface has the voice synthesizer, but instead of it being just Ghostface's voice, it's, he can, like, capture people's voices.
Yeah.
But then he's captured Maureen's voice.
Yeah.
And it's like, so unless he,
but it's old
hypothetically,
Maureen.
It's Sydney's mom when she's Sydney's mom. Like, so, hypothetically, you could say that it was because he captured her voice by watching the movies that she was in. But then, there is a change, you yourself don't notice it, but there is a change from a 20-year-old voice to a 45-year-old voice. You know, like, there's just that little bit of a different inflection.
So
and,
the only
know,
opportunity he would have had that was actually meeting her.
Yeah.
And being like, I am your son.
Well, and what we talked about is that...
And who is the dad?
She had Roman, which we assume the dad is the producer guy, or the director guy.
And, like, literally we're not going off of anything because they don't...
No.
They honestly don't say...
So they hint to the fact that the producer, the older guy... I can't remember his name now, but...
Well, it's a Henriksen guy.
Yeah, so they allude to the fact that he sexually assaulted Maureen. And there's not really a mention of whether it was sexual assault or if it was consensual by her. But either way, he used his power as an older producer, and in order for her to get roles in movies, she slept with him. So, and then we assume, because... The only thing that we're presented as the audience is the fact that Maureen was sleeping with this guy.
Yeah.
So we assume, you know, that Roman is that guy's.
You would think.
But
she's also supposed to be kind of this...
Yeah,
you
like,
know,
where she sleeps around.
Tramp, so...
So, but, like, one thing that we mentioned is that Roman kills the producer guy... Because he wants to frame it on Sydney and, you know, he's the guy who raped her mom and blah, 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 whatever it is. Or took advantage of her mom. I mean, really, it's rape, even if it was consensual because she was doing it to get a role. Because it was implied that she would get a role if she did it. But the fact is, like, Roman doesn't even make... He knows about that. He knows about the sexual assault. So why not mention, like... I know you're my dad. Like,
that's
you
all
would think,
I wanted.
Yeah,
I just wanted
like one line of like.
I wanted it to
something.
Be like a throat slit.
Yeah.
And then, what is it? His name was Monty.
Yeah, it sounds like
he
that.
Like falls on the ground, and Roman's like, see a dad.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of that, like, ah! Like, yeah. Holy, like, you know. Yeah. But it just... it just works with the timeline, mm-hmm. I guess.
Well, and really, like I said, it wasn't offered that the, because they say that Roman's turning 30. The party that they all go to at the house where people get murdered is yeah. his 30th birthday party.
Oh, that's true.
So, there's no, there's no other offered information other than her sleeping with Cotton and her sleeping with Billy's dad, but that's only, like, a couple of years ago, maybe three at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe three or four, depending on how long it's been. But, so, obviously, those two of the established people we know she's had sex with are not the dad of Roman.
Yeah.
So you can assume that because they're bringing up the fact that she was sexually assaulted by the producer guy, that he is Roman's dad. But there's really
But Roman should be so much older.
But maybe not, because if Maureen was, like, 25 when she went, if anything, he should be younger. But then that doesn't fit with the timeline with Sydney. So say Sydney's 10 years younger. Say she's, because 16 to 20 or whatever.
Yeah, the second movie, she's college. Like, yeah, we're so out. Say she's, so like, she's out 24, out of college.
But I would say, well, because we don't know if she finishes college, because she's still technically in it. And she's still wearing the same necklace that her boyfriend gave her. So I always assume that the third one was maybe a year later.
Okay.
Maybe a year, maybe 2 years. Because not much has changed, like, other than her, like, reclusing. Which I would think that she would maybe drop out of college. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But say she's 20, 21. You know, maybe, say between 20 and 22. That makes her 8 years younger than Roman.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that in that time, Maureen had to have been raped by the producer, had 9 months to have Roman, and then in the span of 8 years...
I guess so.
Married... I guess, yeah, I guess the timeline does make sense. Because then she would have had to marry Neil Prescott... had Sydney, and then, like, within 8 years of that happening.
Yeah, because then Roman's 8 at that time.
Yeah, but then they never really talk about the fact... They don't
say when he shows up.
Well, and they don't talk about what actually happened to him. Like, did she have him for a while and then put him up for adoption, or did she just put him up straight for adoption? Like, they don't really talk about that. He knows she's his mom.
The only way they made it sound like was that she just gave him up.
Yeah. But then, I don't know. Well, and then, so the guy, the producer guy, like, three is a mess, but, like, the producer guy didn't know that Maureen was pregnant. Like, he was obviously a richer dude, so would she not have gone to him and been like, I'm pregnant? And then it would have been like,
get rid of it,
or, you know, give it up. But, like, not knowing, like, did she name him Roman? Like, did she know that he was, you know what I mean? Like,
it's very messy.
Yeah. It's a lot.
The third one's super messy, and it's just, it's not fun, because I feel like most of the actors and actresses in it are kind of, like, trying.
They test
my patience.
Like, when they do the thing where they have an actor pretending to be an actor.
Pretending to be an actor.
Yeah, like, it's like... It's a lot.
It is a lot. And
they always have the same personality. Like, the one that's, you know, playing Gale in the Stab movie.
Piper.
Like, she... So like, Parker Posey,
Parker
right?
Posey, like, yeah.
It's just... It's a lot to
it's
deal with.
Too much.
Like, when you're... You know, she's pretending to be Gale Weathers, and then she's pretending to be...
Well, and they're trying...
Her character, and then...
They're trying to do all the stereotypes that you find...
Yeah, in Hollywood.
So Dewey's character is like this drunk driver. You know, he's got some blackmail on him. The blonde chick, Jenny McCarthy, you know, she's kind of that just like ditzy, like, oh, I'm the sexy one in the movie.
Yeah, she wants to like break into the business, but all she gets is like over sexualized roles.
And then you have the lead who's playing Sydney, but she got it doing what Sydney's mom did.
Yeah.
And she's like, super shy and timid and, like, you know, what it's, like, portrayed that those are the kind of women that sleep with producers to get the role.
Yeah.
Because she's very much like, I'll do anything. But she's not really a strong woman. And then Parker is just the obnoxious, like, so, but it's over the top. Like, so obnoxious, like... here's my poodle, where's my coffee, I said soy latte. Yeah. Like, it's
too much. Well, and, like, it's implied that her and Dewey are, like,
kind of
together, but not really. Not. Like, it's more like she keeps him around as, like, a warm body because he's already on the movie with her. Like,
it's just, kind of thing. It is so messy, and they try to do this red herring thing with literally everyone in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's him, it's her, it must be him. Like, they all just have that moment of being like, man, Sydney, I'm your biggest fan. Yeah. And it's just like, you're not the person. Like, we know you're not the person.
Yeah. Like, well, and then they, like, try to make it the, like, Kincaid the cop is.
Yeah.
And it's like,
But that's the thing, is it's like,
why would he be a cop in Hollywood? Like, why would he be a cop in Hollywood if he was gonna want to get to Sydney, who obviously does live in California, but not in Hollywood?
But, like, why, like, though? Like, I want to kill this random girl that's had, like, a really shitty run.
Yeah.
But,
like, no, I guess because nobody else has wanted to do it or can do it or whatever it might
be. Yeah. And then the fourth one, for some reason, the fourth one's, like, super fun to me.
Like, it's my second favorite.
It's really fun to watch. I'm not quite sure why, because then rewatching it was very like, wow, you're grabbing at straws.
Yeah.
But it's cleaner than the third one.
Yeah, well, and at least
it's just a lot of like, why isn't the aunt more present?
Yeah.
You know, like,
and well, and I was thinking about that, like, maybe, I don't know, we only see a small snapshot, like, each movie is only like a time lapse of like a week or a couple days or this. So maybe not mentioning the aunt in other ones is not that big of a deal because it's, you know what I mean? Like, it is like you only see, like, the first movie happens over the course of maybe like 3 days.
Yeah.
Then the next movie, it's maybe a week. And then the third movie, it's literally like a day or two.
Well, the second movie is way more than a week because Stab's coming out, which is based on Sydney's story.
I mean, the time from, like, the beginning of the movie
to okay, I see what,
like,
you mean.
Like, all the events only happen in, like, the 2 days, the week, you know what I mean? Like, it's not over the course of months that this is happening. Yeah. So, like, it wouldn't be, like, we wouldn't see, like, Maureen's funeral where her aunt comes. You know what I mean? Yeah,
it's more of, like, all these stories affected by Sydney's life.
Yeah.
Like, it's like these people that are on the outer ripples of what's happened to her and how it's affected them.
Yeah. Well, and they talk about the fact that, like, Jill doesn't know Sydney at all because she never comes back to Woodsboro.
Yeah.
And, like, finally decides to come back. But obviously that was something that in Woodsboro would be heavily advertised that Sydney Prescott was coming home, like, to do her book tour or whatever. So, and then staying with Jill and, like, her mom.
Yeah.
So, like, they would know to plan to start the murders. And I feel like because Scream 4, like, they go for the fact that they want to redo it, but this time actually take out the final girl and have a new final girl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, like, I do. I love it.
It's fun. It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, I really like Scream 4. And it's not, it's obviously insane because, like, who would want to kill their mom just to be able to be the new Sydney Prescott? You know what I mean?
I mean, she destroys her friends.
Like, she clearly has, like, actual some type friends. Of, like, mental illness.
Like,
you know?
That's the one where it's like she seriously is the psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, she kills her closest friend. Mm-hmm. She kills her mom.
Well, and, like, Charlie doesn't care. It's not his friends. It's not his mom.
Yeah.
So he just thinks to himself that, well, you know, I'll get to be with her, but he doesn't have any, other than Robbie, like, his like, best friend that he does the club with or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, really, and then it's like, well, that's one person.
But Jill's even then, like Robbie's 10. Kind of that showboating.
Yeah.
Like, way more out there than he is, so it's almost, like was Randy. He annoyed by him or this or that?
Yeah, was it, like, too much? Well, and, like, you know, there is that, like, because they say that he's the idea man, like, Charlie's the idea man, when Robbie and them are talking in cinema club. And it's like, so Robbie doesn't really know much about what, he knows, like, the horror tropes and that kind of stuff. But, like, Charlie's the one who actually deep dives into these, like, you know, the science behind, you know, quote unquote, the science behind the horror and the, you know, the sequels and the trilogies and all that stuff. Whereas Robbie's kind of not riding Charlie's coattails because he does know some things by himself, but it is that kind of, like, riding the, you know,
yeah,
riding the coattails of, like, he wants to be in Cinema Club because he has, like, the live stream going and stuff like that. So I think that, like, he's interested in more of, like, the actual movie making, and Charlie's actually, like, the person who knows, like, you know, the stuff about the horror and everything like that.
I would have liked for one of them to maybe be, like, a cousin of Randy's.
Yeah.
Like, some, like, a little...
Well, Robbie seems, like, more of, like, the Randy.
Yeah, but just something that kind of ties them in more instead of just, like, basically going after the girl, which Charlie's... I think one of my favorite reveals is the fourth one when he says to Kirby, like, you finally notice me. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like,
and you're like, oh, shit, it's him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy. It's one of my favorite reveals because it is unexpected.
Well, and a lot of the things in Scream 4, obviously, it's 9 years old now, but
it is that
kind of stuff, like, the guy who drove around Isla Vista in California and shot up the place,
mm-hmm.
he did that whole manifesto where he was talking about how he was only doing this because girls wouldn't talk to him and they wouldn't give him a chance and, like, all this other stuff. And it's, like, that was Charlie's... I feel like that was his motivation. And, like, Jill obviously exploited that. She needed his help because she couldn't do it by herself and not be caught. So she went to the person who, A, knew all the horror stuff, and B, was so, like, pissed off that no girls were acknowledging him, that he was willing to kind of make that ultimate sacrifice type thing where it was like, yeah, like, you know, this is worth it. Like, because, you know, teenage boys are just insane. But, like, it is that kind of, like, she exploited the fact that he hadn't had a girlfriend, he liked Kirby, and she couldn't get his attention. Like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And,
well,
like,
and then, I mean, obviously she... Because the first thing he says is, like, we can be together.
Yeah.
Like, that's all he's looking for.
Yeah, he wants,
like,
to be
a
with
girlfriend.
Jill. Exactly.
Like,
he wants to be with Jill, and obviously she kills him. Because, you know.
Why not?
Everybody loves a soul survivor. But, yeah. Like, but, you know what I mean? Like, I just think that it was very much, like, a topic of the time period where you have, like, the, you know, the incels and all that kind of stuff where they... Instead of looking in, like, instead of Charlie looking into himself and being like, well, if I, you know, I'm a little creepy, I like horror, I know all this stuff, I'm really smart, so I kind of, like, intimidate some people with my, like, knowledge of things. Instead of thinking to himself, like, okay, I need to find people who appreciate that about me.
Yeah.
Because there is going to, you know, you might not find them in high school. Yeah. Like, you might not find them in high school, but you are you would be able to find somebody eventually who does appreciate who you are.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to wait. And then when Jill exploited that, then it's, like, perfect. Like, I can use what I know. I can use, you know, I can help this. I can get a girlfriend. And not only can, you know... And then it's kind of, like, the blackmail thing of, like, and she can't leave me because she knows that if she's not my girlfriend anymore, I'm going to go to the police and tell them what we did, but make it very much seem like it was mostly her, you know, mostly her idea.
Well, I mean, her stupid teenage plan, like, totally falls apart the second she finds out Sydney's alive.
Well,
one
like, thing that
bothers
me...
That's the only thing about that movie where it's like, okay, dumb girl, where are you going with this?
Well, like,
it's
Sydney,
it's done now.
The only thing she could do in Sydney's case... Is if Sydney had the thing that they do in The Omen, where if Sydney had an IV, she could go and pump some air into the tube and then let Sydney die. But because she's already beat up and in hospital and she's got stitches and, you know, internal bleeding and stuff, nobody's really going to do an autopsy to find out what actually killed her.
Because
they can just assume that it's mass bodily trauma, you know. But then she goes in there and, like, fucking starts,
like,
swinging.
Beats her up and,
like, you know, throws her around, pushes on her stitches and opens them up. Like, that's not going to work. Like, that doesn't... If you want to not go to jail and everybody to believe your fucking story at that point... Why the fuck are you going to go in there and beat her up?
I know.
The better thing to do would be to, you know...
Pillow her or something.
Yeah, like, something, like, where you don't...
Because Dewey said that she wasn't really awake.
Make trauma. Yeah.
He was like, she's holding in, but we don't know if she's going to make it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of those things where that person's obviously not awake.
Yeah. Go in and fucking pull her fucking IV out. Like, if
pull
it's,
her IV
you know,
out.
If it's medicine or if it's antibiotics or something she needs... like, anything else other than beating the shit out of her, which is going to obviously raise a few flags when they come back in the room and she has a black eye where she didn't before.
Yeah.
Like...
And it's like, who could have gotten to her? And it's like, the 16-year-old, maybe? Yeah. Like...
Well, like, at that point, she's obviously killed everybody else, so there's nobody else to take the blame for it.
Yeah.
But, obviously... While shitting on it, Scream is one of the best.
And it's not even shitting on it. It's just, like, we like to be realistic about the movies that we watch. And it's not a perfect
film. No, and nothing is.
But it is solid in, like, having fun watching it. It changed the entire slasher scene. I mean, you know...
We had Halloween. It poked fun of itself and poked fun at everybody else, but didn't do it in a way where it ruined it.
No, and it started, you know, the 90s were lost. Like, there, when you look at stuff before Scream, it was just really lost. Mm-hmm. Everything was really muddy. They were trying to copy whatever was before that. They were trying to copy Halloween, Friday the 13th, like, crazy Texas possessed things. They were just... It was a grab bag of rehashing, and then Scream came forward. And it was like, we can reinvent the slasher movie.
Yeah.
And...
We can tell everybody we know we're a slasher movie while being a slasher movie, and they'll still enjoy
it. And it was... It really opened the doors again in the horror movie industry. So, you have to have respect for it. The same way that, like, Blair Witch Project brought forth the... point of view, found footage kind of thing. And it's not the first one. It's not the best one.
Yeah.
But it opened the doors again.
Yeah.
And it really, like, brought people to that point of, like, you know, obviously, like, is it real? Is it fake? Like, that kind of thing. Well, Scream breathed life into Halloween and Friday the 13th and Peeping Tom, like, all the slasher movies back in the day.
Yeah.
Because people were like, that's freaking scary. What else is there? Yeah. Well, there's granddaddy movies. Mm-hmm. And they're amazing.
Well, and I feel, because, like, Scream is based on the Gainesville Ripper case. Because he killed people the way that they did and, like, posed their bodies like they did and stuff. And, like, I feel like that's also, like, a nod to the true crime community, too. Because it's like, this is, we're going to do stuff how it really would happen. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like... not to be rude or anything, but, like, with, like, say, like, Michael Myers stabs Annie in the stomach, but there's, like, a gallon of blood. And it's like, that doesn't really work like that. Like, Scream, actually, the practical effects and stuff like that were actually, like, mostly medically accurate.
Yeah.
So, like, Tatum's death is the perfect example. Like, she goes through the cat door and then gets her neck broken because it gets squished against the thing. Well, that's internal. Most movies at that time, or even, you know, cut her even in after half. That, it would have, or she would be, like, bleeding out of the mouth, or she would, there would be blood coming from her neck, even though there wasn't a wound.
Yeah.
Like, I really appreciate that they, like, medically made it so that it was pretty accurate. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, like, and I think that's why those first, like, between Steve just exploding and Drew Barrymore being gutted, it looks so good.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, it looks like something that would be in more of like a, like Midsommar kind of movie where it is like you're seeing this body, but for the realistic crime scene that you're looking at.
Yeah. More of like a, like we watched The Outsider on HBO, like more of like a police procedural type show where they want to be as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Scream is like.
It's horrifying to look at.
Yeah, because it's real life, but it's real. It's not, you know, there's not a gallon of blood. Like I said, like, Casey's already been gutted, so we don't need blood, like, spilling out of her wound.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
it's not coming out of her mouth.
Yeah.
It's not...
Yeah, I don't know why that's the thing.
It's always a thing.
Everybody gets stabbed in the stomach. Well, and, like, that happens with Stu and stuff, but, like, it is much more realistic than... You know, other movies, especially even still, like, with blood and, you know, that kind of stuff. Like I said, with Tatum, like, they would be, like, blood coming out of her mouth and blood coming out of her fucking eyes. Like, and it's like, no, that's not really how that works. Like,
yeah,
exactly.
You break
your neck and it's broken. Like,
yeah. It's more the...
Doesn't cut anything. Like,
the horrible, like, looking at it and, again, like, kind of that nod, not that Scream was, but almost like Final Destination kind of nod of just, like... Okay, never thought of that. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, that's horrible, because you do kind of, like, have that, like, oh, I don't know, like, go through the cat door.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, Jesus Christ, don't go through the cat door. The same way that Final Destinations have changed our minds on a lot of different things, Tannenbeds. Yeah. So,
and riding behind log trucks.
Just every... So,
or rebar. Yeah.
It is. It's good in that sense of not going the, like, Sam Raimi kind of...
Yeah.
Of just like, why not? They're dead. And it's like,
squish their face.
Yeah.
But we hope that you enjoyed it, and go ahead and go watch all four Screams. They're actually, Showtime is free if you have cable right now. They're doing it free because everybody's in quarantine, and all four Screams are on there.
Yeah. So. And it was, I mean, it was really cool to revisit them and watch them in a row. Yeah. Did you ever watch the TV show?
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed the TV show.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The third season, they rebooted it and put, like, new actors and stuff. But the first two seasons, I really like it.
What do they follow? Like, what is just...
It's a different... they use a different mask, and it's, like, a different, like, origin story. It's more like Friday the 13th, where there was a kid that was... I can't remember what was wrong with him, but something was wrong with him. And he wore a mask to school because his face was, like, messed up. And people made fun of him for it. And then he died or whatever. And then the premise is that he came back and started killing people. I would have to rewatch it to tell you who is the killer, because it's been a long time. I watched the third season not too long ago, which is not, it's really not good. Like, they tried to reboot it. Well, they tried to reboot it with the second season of The Scream not being resolved. So, it's like, I don't know if maybe, so like, their contracts were up and they didn't want to do it, like, something like that. But the first two seasons are pretty good. Not Scream level, obviously, but they're not bad.
Yeah.
They've got some cool deaths and stuff.
I didn't know if it had any connection to the movies as far as,
It was only in the third season that they finally got Funhouse to say they could use the ghost face mask. And honestly, I can't even tell you who the killer is. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I do. I won't spoil it, but,
I never watched it, so yeah. I wasn't sure.
The first two seasons are, like, a completely independent storyline.
Gotcha.
It is, like I said, like, more like Friday the 13th, where it's like, oh my god, is he back? Because there's, like, little, like, nods to, like, it being him, and obviously wearing his mask when they do it, but yeah, so, cool. Let us know how you like the churros and stuff like that, and, like, our lives, but we'll see you next time.
Bye!